These are the Qayshi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Qayshi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
Qayshi Tapes, episode 84. I'm John Hewlett with Favaz.
Hello, John.
Today we have a Favaz interview that he did with Tom Hamilton of Aerosmith.
Yes, Tom Hamilton, the bass player from Aerosmith, has had tongue cancer, I guess it is, is recovered. He's lost a lot of weight. He looks really, really skinny. Mm-hmm. In fact, he looks like kind of like Chucky, mm-hmm. you know, from the movies Chucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of weird. This interview, I have no idea what year it was. They were still calling it Riverport Amphitheater. So it might have been, you know, late 90s, something like that. But it was when Aerosmith had come into town, and I've seen them a number of times, and they made him available. So I took the chance, and we have this on digital audio tape, or a DAT, and we don't do many interviews with that. And saw we had this one today. I was like, let's do that one. So
I don't remember too many interviews with Tom Hamilton on the radio station over all the years.
Yeah. I know we've done Joe Perry before. I've never interviewed Steven Tyler. Have you?
I met him on the field at Busch Stadium and talked to him, but I don't believe I interviewed him that day.
Yeah, I met him too, but I've never interviewed him.
No.
So it's Joe Perry or Tom Hamilton, and today we have Hamilton.
Here we go.
All right.
Hey, everybody. It's Favaz backstage, Riverport Amphitheater with Tom Hamilton, bass player from Aerosmith, and it is a pleasure and an honor to meet you, Tom.
It's really awesome to be here, too. From what I hear, the show is sold out, and we're psyched. What can we say?
Aerosmith, many times in St. Louis. I want to put you on the spot right off the bat. Do you have any early memories of St. Louis at all that that come to mind, maybe a venue or a gig you had or something like that?
I remember playing with this band called Angel back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. The same ones?
Yes.
Did they wear the white outfits?
They were, it was.
And you know why Angel wore white?
Why?
Because they were on Casablanca Records, which was also Kiss's record label. And Gene Simmons told Casablanca, hey, we wear the black and, that's it.
Wow.
If you're going to sign these guys, make them wear white.
Oh, that's funny.
So nobody would get us confused. Yeah.
Wow.
Two of the original members, including the lead singer, they just played at a little club on the east side called Pops just about a month and a half ago.
Was Punky Meadows in the band? Okay, they had a guitar player named Punky Meadows.
Yeah, still in the band.
We had been touring a lot with Kiss back then. And so we played with Angel, and, you know, instead of the makeup and the dark leather, they're like in these white flowing outfits. And we're like, oh, okay, that's cool. You know, we'd see these bands and go, hey, what's with us? We don't have a shtick. You know, all we do is, like, put our jeans on and play. And luckily we didn't.
Yeah, Steven's your shtick.
Yeah, he's total shtick. Yeah.
You know, fall tempted to do some kind of ridiculous outfit.
So you were opening for them?
No.
I didn't think so.
No. Yeah, they opened for us, I'm pretty sure. I mean, we'd already been out touring.
Well, he kind of took offense to that, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah.
He was kind of, to me, he was joking around, but, you know.
One of those Boston Jags.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Albums out. I think they were on their first record back then.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, man, they were really in the early 70s.
No, he doesn't know how to speak into a microphone.
I don't know. That's weird. Yeah, they.
I know he doesn't.
Well, I had one, and I was going back and forth with it. So.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how you can tell.
When I brought up that name, I fully expected you to, like, not have any idea what I was talking about. And here you are with all this information. So.
their big hit was called The Tower. Do you remember that song? It's a really high-pitched, I don't know, it's almost like Rush-esque.
I don't remember.
Anyway, Tom Hamilton from Aerosmith here, and the show is tonight at Riverport, sold out. It's been one hell of a year for Aerosmith, playing the Super Bowl, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay, well,
are you ever overwhelmed?
There's a clue right there. What year did they play the Super Bowl?
I'm going to look. Aerosmith and the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and they did a really nice job at the Super Bowl. I remember that, you know.
Okay. 2004?
2004, yeah.
Wow.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Opening show medley, yeah.
By what you guys have accomplished, and not only the cool stuff you get to do like that, but, I mean, all the great music.
They played halftime of the Super Bowl in 2001.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
2001?
Yeah. 19 years ago.
2001. Well, 9/11 was yet to happen, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You ever sit back and go, I can't believe it.
Yeah, all the time. And, you know, that's why when an offer comes in to do the halftime show at the Super Bowl, You know, it's like just to have the phone ring and somebody say that is amazing. So to be able to actually do that and be such a big part of it was an amazing feeling. And I get the same feeling every night when we're on stage. We have these giant lights that light up the entire audience, and we can see all the way to the back of the lawn. And it's just an amazing sight. It looks like an ocean of people.
You think we'll ever get a rock band headlining the Super Bowl again?
I don't know. The only one that comes to mind is Metallica. You know, and they should.
Yeah.
I think, you know. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, even them. I mean, they're a great rock band, and in the world of rock,
mm-hmm.
everybody knows them and respects them and says yes automatically. But outside of rock, which is the more larger universe, I don't know that they play well.
Right. Exactly.
So,
but one just came to mind. If they reunited, they could do it.
Who?
Led Zeppelin.
Yeah. Well,
you know?
Yeah.
They could.
That ain't going to happen.
It ain't going to happen. No way.
What idea was it to put the second stage up in the lawn?
Well, we've been kind of toying with that, but I think the one that really pushed the band into doing it was Joe, which is usually true. He's usually the one that comes up with outlandish ideas, and we all kind of stand around and go, I don't know, man. What about this and what about that? And he says, I don't know. Let's just try it. And that's kind of how we did it. It's pretty insane. Once we get up there, it's like, you know, the time machine thing. It's like a 70s audience. We're on a tiny little stage like we used to play when we first started. We're surrounded by screaming people and clouds of pot smoke. And, you know, we play the old songs. And it's a blast. It's kind of insane getting up and back, though. We get groped, like, the whole way.
I was going to ask you, have you had any problems so far on this tour getting back there at all? Or anything funky happen?
So many people grope us. It's like by the time we get there, we've had sex 3 times.
But I'm bump.
Is that a problem?
Depends on what pants I'm wearing.
All right, so with all the cool stuff that you guys have done this year, what haven't you done that you would like to do? Is there one thing or maybe one place you haven't played or one event you haven't played? Or have you been in the White House?
Yes, we've been there. As a matter
been there, done that.
We were at the White House getting a tour the day that Clinton was impeached. And we were standing around outside, and over sort of across the lawn, we could see all the reporters gathering for him to come out on the, you know, in the Rose Garden and talk about it or whatever. And the Secret Service guys were saying, oh, yeah, you get a great view. You can go right up behind the cameras and check it out. And about 5 minutes later, they came back and said, come on, guys, we have to go over here. And they took us into a different building and down into the basement. So it was definitely like a, you know, somebody said, we can't have these, like, degenerate rock stars around here when the president is getting impeached for lying about getting a BJ from an intern. Like, thanks a lot. You know, we always feel like the country cousins that nobody wants around.
If anybody should have been there, it should have been a rock band that's probably gotten many of those from many of the interns, yes.
You know what's funny about him? I don't detect a Boston accent.
No, I don't either.
Which is really weird. And he, from what I know, I thought all of them were from Boston.
Yeah, that's
Boston
what I thought,
area.
Too.
Huh.
Yeah.
Did you get to meet him that day?
No, we didn't. No, we did not. So, we weren't really planning on it, but we thought we'd see more of the White House. We kind of saw the first floor, and the next thing we know, we're in a basement somewhere.
So, getting back, though, can you think of...
I think I might have gotten a better tour of the White House than those guys. I was in the West Wing. Well, I was in the West Wing. I was in the Oval Office.
Did I know this?
I don't know.
Why were you there?
Well, I'll tell the story. George Bush came to Bush Stadium in 2004. I guess it was 2004 to throw out a first pitch. 2003, maybe.
I remember I was at that home opener. Okay.
And I'm the PA announcer at Bush Stadium, for people who may not know that. And they had a Secret Service guy, a White House representative, in the booth with me.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case, I guess, if I decide to open the microphone and, you know, say something derogatory. Who knows? But they had somebody positioned right there with me. Not to tell me what to say, other than all you're supposed to ever say when you introduce the president is, ladies and gentlemen, the president of the United States.
That's it.
So that person happened to be from St. Louis. Dave was his name.
Oh.
And he told me, hey, if you ever come to Washington, D.C., you want a really good tour of the White House and get you into the West Wing and everything, I'm your guy.
Wow.
He said, it's amazing how many people I'll say that to and they don't even bother. I said, well, you just said it to somebody who's going to take you up on it.
Yeah.
And it happened.
Wow, that's neat.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
It was in the Roosevelt Room, the Cabinet Room.
Wait a minute, you were in the Oval Office.
They wouldn't let me go in the office, but I was in the doorway. And I leaned in and I looked
all
the way around.
Was there anybody in there?
Nobody was in there, no.
Nobody was in there?
It was Thanksgiving weekend, 2004, I think it was.
Wow.
And so the president was out of town. This was George Bush at the time, obviously. Yeah, he threw out the pitch. And so, and as a matter of fact, I got disciplined by a security guy who was sitting in the hallway outside the Oval Office.
What did you do?
Well, first I put one foot into the Roosevelt Room, and I took it back out. I said, hey, I was in Roosevelt Room. To my children. I was with my wife and my daughters.
Okay.
I go to the Cabinet Room. I do the same thing. That guy sees it. He says, you do that again, you're out of here.
Wow.
Yeah, in front of my kids. It was kind of embarrassing. So when I got to the Oval Office, I just leaned in and looked around. I didn't put my foot in
that's
there.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's great. Oh, by the way, Tom Hamilton, born in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
There's your answer.
So that's why he's why we can't detect a Boston accent.
Yeah.
Pan, that you haven't done anything you haven't conquered yet?
Well, we haven't played in Thailand. We haven't played in Russia. And
you don't want to play in Russia, dude. Right. Stay out of there.
I wonder if they have since.
Everybody plays in front of the pyramids. Last night, Joey and I were out at a club, and we met this woman who is a classical pianist from Vietnam. And we were talking, we were just talking all about music and stuff. And I was telling her how badly I'd love to come to Vietnam and play, just for the irony, the historical irony of that, And hopefully it'll happen someday.
I get that. I get that feeling he's talking about the historical irony of it and just wanting to see what Vietnam is like. Because when I was a kid growing up, we watched that war unfurl on national television. It was the first TV war, really.
Right.
And I remember being a little kid being scared to death that I was heading right for that horrible situation. And so I grew up in fear of the Vietnamese people and Vietnam. And then when it all ended and everything, and as I got older, I thought to myself, man, I'd like to go back. I'd like to go there and see that and tour that and
Yep.
I don't know.
You know why I want to go there?
Why?
Because of Anthony Bourdain.
Oh,
I used to watch
that
show all the time, and that was like his favorite country to visit.
Mm.
And just the food is just one reason to go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it's amazing. So yeah.
That you've had sometimes in the studio, the guys, I guess mainly Joe and Steven, maybe, or is it a collective fight in the old days when it was when that stuff would happen?
It was pretty much everybody. It was like, I'm the kind of person that gets sucked into an argument so easy. I'm just a sucker. A lot of people know when to just like dodge it and don't get caught up in it, but I just take the bait every time. So
on this one, was it easier? Did you argue as much, or what was it like to record Just Push Play?
No, it was it was really smooth. As a matter of fact, it was kind of spooky. There was a point where I was just thinking, how long can this last? And it was because it was really an album that we did at our own pace with our own priorities. And, we really keep our ears open to input from the record company and input from our friends and people we respect. But this time we really wanted to have like a period where it was just the creative process without any interference from, the career planners and all that kind of stuff.
So that was the album that had come out, Just Push Play. That was a good song.
Yeah, it was a good song.
I remember that.
Yeah. It's a song that's kind of starting to fade away, and you're not hearing it much anymore. But
right.
I think it was a pretty successful song for him, too, wasn't it?
I think so.
Was that the only real well-known song that came off that album?
There might have been one more. I'll look.
Okay, you look.
And it started to be a really productive process, so we just kind of kept it going step by step. I mean, we figured at some point, somebody would probably come in and say, it doesn't sound good. You should get a proper producer and do this, go to New York, spend 10 grand a day in a studio. But we just kept going. I mean, we definitely had competent people in there, recording it and stuff. But it just turned into its own process, and, we're happy with what came out of it.
Before you get to what you're going to talk about here, Favaz, the ridiculous rates that recording studios charged.
Yeah.
And now you see with technology that we have here, people can do in their homes.
Do it in your garage.
What those studios were charging bands to come in and do that is ridiculous.
Yeah, back then they could.
Yeah, they could. They didn't. You didn't have any really have any options, I guess. So right. They kind of had a captive audience or a captive customer. You were going to say something about the album.
There was a bigger song.
Oh, okay, Just Push Play.
Uh-huh. There's
Jaded,
one of
Jaded.
Jaded. Yeah, great song. Yeah. Yep.
We're talking to Tom Hamilton, bass player from Aerosmith, sold out show here at Riverport tonight. And how much longer, not so much longer you keep making music. I think you guys could do that forever. But how much longer can you keep going out on the road and supporting each record? Because you guys are road dogs. We just got back from a meet and greet. You guys meet people. There's so many bands now, young bands too, that just don't want to meet their fans. You guys continually do this stuff the whole time. Is that part still fun for you? I mean, you guys can keep doing that aspect of your life, the road and all that, and meeting people. You can still see yourself doing that for a while?
Yeah, well, the longer you do this, the more you really experience how paper thin this whole thing is. I mean, it could really blow away quick. I've seen it happen. It's happened to us. I've seen countless bands that, you know, we've toured with that are great bands that do great records, and then bang, it's like, what happened to them? Lately, a lot of people say, how long can you do it? And I don't like to predict, because whatever I say, I'm going to jinx it. So, I look at it day by day. I'm looking at the show tonight, and I'm really looking forward to playing tonight. It's going to be a great crowd, and I'm psyched.
I mean, Aerosmith is in the running for sure as being the greatest American rock band.
Yeah, they're up there.
They're in the running, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. So, it's the quality of their catalog and their music that they put together in the 70s and 80s, primarily the 70s, I would say.
Some of it in the 90s.
A little bit in the 90s.
Yeah.
That is the reason why they didn't just, like he said, just the wind blows and they're gone.
Right.
Because they've
got some staying power. I mean,
right.
Look at them now. They're doing their residency, well, when they could before the COVID thing busted out, but they were doing that thing in Vegas.
Yeah.
Where they would just play, and that's, they're doing residencies now, so.
And theirs could have gone away for personal reasons, drug usage.
Right.
Things like that. And it almost did, and they got a second chance.
Right.
So usually that's the thing that ends up ruining bands
more
than anything else.
Boy, and it came close to taking them out. Joe Perry left for a while. I think I read Steven Tyler's book, which was really, really good. I mean, he was fucked up all the time, so.
And has struggled probably up until just recently.
Yeah.
And who knows what he's doing now. He might still be taking something, something.
Yeah.
Because he's been such an addict to, what's the drug? Opioids.
Yeah, opioids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hamilton of Aerosmith, thank you very much. And any final thoughts on your life or anything like that you just want to tell people? Besides the fact, they're on their way to the show right now, but anything else you just want to add?
If you ever start your own band, don't forget to bring a camera, because I wish I had a camera ever since the beginning, and you should probably bring a towel.
Yeah. Words of wisdom from Tom Hamilton. Tom, thanks a lot, man.
My pleasure.
Yeah, words of wisdom for sure.
Bring a towel.
Yeah, and that's not for just sweat. Well, that was a good interview for us.
Thanks. I think I remember the meet and greet beforehand. If it was the meet and greet, it was all five members of Aerosmith. They signed for me the Aerosmith album cover that has Dream On. So it was first one. And I remember Steven Tyler asking me my name, so he could put my name on it. And somebody told me after the fact that so I wouldn't go to sell it.
Oh, yeah. That's what they do.
On
that's,
eBay.
That's,
I didn't know that.
Oh,
at
really?
The time.
Oh, at the time. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's an automatic anymore with any celebrities. What's your name? Because they know what you're going to do with it in
right.
a lot of cases. So if you have an autograph from back in the day when, say, famous baseball players were just signing their names, those are much more valuable, obviously, than they ever dreamed that they could be. Because it happened during the period when there was no anticipation of what was yet to come, eBays and things like that.
Also, I remember in that meet and greet, my niece was with me. She was 18. She was hot. And there was another hot girl. And Steven Tyler couldn't stay away from them.
Really?
The both of them. Hmm. It was hilarious. I just kind of was, I just kind of stood there and watched and listened, watched him flirt with them. It was just really, really funny. I was like, oh, that's why he's Steven Tyler.
Yeah.
He can do that. So
that's with any of those guys, man. I'll tell you, even Roger Hodgson, when I met him, Learn was with me, and he's an older guy,
right.
But even at his age and his stage of his life, He didn't want to talk to me. He wanted to talk to the girl.
Of course, yeah.
You know? And anytime I've been around girls and famous people, they want to talk to the girl.
Especially athletes.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes me think of when Steven Tyler was a judge on American Idol. I don't know if you watched it much, but every cute little girl that was on there, man, he was all over. It was even then. It was just really funny.
Yeah, so. It's almost like a sickness for him. Yeah. All right, that's episode 84 of the KC Tapes. I'm John Hewlett. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUMan and on Instagram, I'm Johnny Hewlett.
Hey, great. I'll follow you. And I am Favaz, AMF.
See you later. Bye.
The KC Tapes with you, man, and Favaz. For more on the history of KC, go to KC95.com or the KC mobile app.